Hello, welcome to my first talk of two today for me. I hope I didn't mix up now the topics. So, my name is Thorsten Kuckuck. I think most of you know me. I'm a distinguished engineer at SUSE. I'm leading the future technology team since many, many years. I see it's wrong there. I'm more than 20 years with SUSE and much longer open source developer. And there's a topic of soft reboot, which got integrated in systemd with version 2.5.4. And at first, okay, it's a nice new feature. Who can use it? Make it any difference for us? Has it any advantages? So we integrated it in our distribution, and that is now the feedback what we learned from it. So what is a soft reboot? The first, it is similar to a regular reboot, but with some big exception, and this is we don't boot the kernel, we don't boot the hardware, we don't boot the firmware, no bootloader. So all this part, which normally takes very long during a reboot phase, is skipped. So all we do is we shut down all user-based services. If necessary or if available, we remount to a new root file system. On Tumbleweed, that is not from interest in this case, but for OpenSUSE Micro S, it can make the downtime much quicker because it's a really fast way than to switch the root file system. Systemd, the PID1 process will be re-exec'd, and all systemd services start again. This is part of systemd 2.5.4. But I suggest everybody to use only 2.5.6 because I found many bugs. Upstream did fix them all, and 2.5.6, currently I have no open issues with it, so that's better. So at first, what does soft reboot, how does it look like? I just typed systemctl soft reboot after updating the glibc. Because you know there's a DBoss daemon, and restarting the DBoss daemon alone is most of the time a bad idea. So restart the full user land, and everything should be fine, everything looked fine, but the tools keep telling me I need to reboot. But I did reboot. So this means we have advantages, we have challenges, and a soft reboot as implemented in systemd alone is not good enough. You need to adjust your distribution that every tool can scope with it, that some parts are not cleared or removed. So we have a pretty fast reboot since we don't go through the hardware boot cycle, no firmware is involved, and no bootloader. The kernel stays the same. So if you update the kernel, still the old kernel is running, and I hope you don't move the old kernel modules away, because else you cannot load them anymore. But that the kernel will not be restarted also means that kernel tables will not be flushed. And the biggest problem I currently face on our production hardware, we use it already on Micro S. If you run Pontman and a firewall daemon, then it can happen that after a soft reboot, your the network inside of the containers is broken, that you cannot log into the machine anymore via network, because the traffic is only routed to the machine, but no connection is necessary, and similar problems. If you then do a hard reboot, they are gone. So this is something where I need to find time to reproduce it on a test machine and not on my production systems, because a test machine is much easier to debug. And also, kernel settings are not reset with this CTL. Currently, we ignore it and hope that the admin didn't set some CTL variables which he don't want to have after reboot. Now, initrd means everything we do in the initrd is also not executed. The first case is on Micro S, SE Linux relabeling is done in the initrd, so that's not done. But also the etc overlay file systems are mounted in the initrd. We don't execute the initrd, so etc is writeable, and now and the config changes are all invisible, so we also had to look for solutions there. And slash run will not be cleared from the, because systemd also stores its data there, which it needs to load again after the soft reboot. As example, the file descriptor store is there, and if you would delete it, then all services, that's coming later in the second part too, have a problem because all file descriptor pipes are broken and communication nearly stopped. So we have meanwhile in our base some files which clean up like the needs reboot, but we haven't debugged everything and haven't tested every software yet. So, and the soft reboot, especially with change in the root file system, is ideal for quick reboots if you use transactional update on macOS and in the future also with LeMicro or LeMicro, because it really reduces the downtime dramatically. So for OpenSUSE, Tumbleweed and macOS, we need a zipper plugin, zip boot plugin, which determines anhand of the file list of packages we update if a soft reboot is enough, if we need a hard reboot or an kexec would work. So this plugin also has a config file, so you need to adjust that with your own workload. If there is something which needs a hard reboot instead of soft reboot or so, so that is something the admin needs to adjust later. Unser Reboot Manager Daemon supports also soft reboot, so if you tell the Reboot Manager do a soft reboot, it will then do a soft reboot in the maintenance window and not a hard reboot. Our base cleans up run enhancement. Our VTemp replacement or the last call now also shows if it was a soft reboot or a hard reboot. For this we use a debus call soft reboots counts. If that is zero, that was a hard reboot. If that is increasing, then we have the soft reboot done. And so if you type last, you will see if you enable soft reboot, when it was a soft reboot and when it was a hard reboot. The root option of the proc command line does of course not much reality anymore if you change the root file system. And with our butterfly subvolume setup, we can ignore it because we don't have the real subvolume, but only some heifers for it. So in OpenSUSE Tumbleweed, if you don't want to type soft system CDI soft reboot, but do it automatically, we have the tool OS update. I know that some people are already heavily using that some time, and switching of the root file system is not needed with Tumbleweed. With OpenSUSE macOS, we have transactional update, which has now all the code to be able to decide if we do a hard reboot or a soft reboot. And in LeMicro, it's still this, in LeMicro 6.0, it's not able because that came too early, the release. LeMicro 6.1 will contain soft reboot, but disabled by default. And in OpenSUSE Tumbleweed and macOS, the soft reboot is currently also still disabled. I don't know if it yet released, but we have a package submitted which does enable the soft reboot by default. But now we are waiting for the QA people, because if you do a soft reboot and not a hard reboot, OpenQA will get confused because they expect a bootloader and similar things, which are not there. There is also open questions where the question is, what is the correct behavior? You can see we have three uptimed binaries. I called them all at the same time. And the core utils says it's a new, it was a reboot, it's new the uptime, it's only 41, I think, minutes or seconds, I'm not sure yet. And the proc PSNG and busybox counts the time when the real reboot was, so they don't tell you that there was a soft reboot. And everybody has a different opinion about this. This is something which needs to be solved somehow. So for rollback, I still need to take a deeper look at it. If there are problems, if we can use it, what we should do. Yield Checker is not working with soft reboot because it uses some boot environment variables which don't exist if you don't go through the bootloader. Now the interesting question is, I have a system, I typed soft reboot and only the user land is shut down and coming up again. Do I really need to restart everything? So one dream for me was that if you have a fat database, let's say SAP HANA, and you need to reboot the user land because the Divos daemon update, whatever, then it takes a very long time to shut down the database, reboot, bring up the database again. So can the database not continue to work, run? So the kernel will then be updated via live patches. The database will be updated via the userland live patching the dependencies, so glibc, OpenSSL, and similar libraries. And the user space, a normal one, we just do a soft reboot, then that is also updated. Includes with transaction update, including a new root file system. And the database is running the whole time. So since we have now on some production machine enabled soft reboot, my current dream is more, can QEMU not survive it? Because it still takes a huge amount of time for our production team service, all the VMs, to save all VMs, do the soft reboot, restart all VMs. So that is something I want to look at next, if we cannot let the VMs survive the soft reboot because there is no need to restart them. So with systemd for 255 starting, you can mark services as not killable. If they cannot be killed, they will not be killed at shutdown, and they are still running if systemd starts again. In theory, you can use all applications you want. I don't know if somebody knows the FOSDEM presentation from Luca about the soft reboot. He used Sleep. Sleep is a pretty useless application for this because it doesn't matter if Sleep survives a soft reboot or not. And Sleep also didn't use any EO output. And at this point, you will find out why your application needs to be aware that soft reboots can happen. Because you can lose open file descriptors and pipes. So if Luca would have used something which gives an output, then his demo would have crashed because he only fixed it afterwards when I told him that pipes get broken and that his applications will crash with a zip pipe. But this is fixed with 256, so there we are safe. So journal D may be unavailable for a short time, so if you use the sdjournal function for libsystemd, be able to cope with it, wait some seconds, and then try it again. File systems might be unable for a short time. Pipes get lost if they are not managed by systemd itself. Network interfaces can change, and there are a lot of more questions. But meanwhile, I have several proof of concepts, different one for different scenarios. So we have a good test coverage and know what where the problems are and what we need to do. If you have a service unit which should survive the soft reboot, these are the variables you need to enter in the service file. Add. You don't need to remember this one. There is a soft reboot target, I think, manual page. There's only one manual page starting with soft reboot, which contains current list of values you should add here. So it could be that it is already still outdated with the new systemd version, but okay. The next question is, where do I store my application which should survive the soft reboot? There are many ideas, root file system, portable services, as image somewhere, butterfs snapshot of the root file system or directly a butterfs subvolume of the root file system. The easiest is clearly root file system. You just install your application like always. The systemd service file is there, you start it. Our software is always current, fine. But What happens after an update if your glibc of this application wants to DL open a new plugin it didn't need it before? It may be gone or incompatible with the running one. So then if you keep files open on the root file system and unmount it and mount another one on the root file system, it could be that there are kernel leaks or other problems, that resources are not given free in the correct way. This is a problem XFS, X4, maybe even ButterFS, but not in the way we are using it. So I spoke with our ButterFS developers and they say the setup of ButterFS for Tumbleweed and OpenSUSE MicroS is safe because we have only one file system, and even if you unmount the root subvolume, the file system does not get unmounted, it's still there, so there cannot be any leaks or similar in our setup. And a huge amount of distributions, especially embedded, use partition scheme LB. So that is, they start from partition A, apply the update to B, switch to partition B, and then override partition A. In this case, it's also not doable, because if you update then your partition A, you override the application which is still running and has references to it. So that will definitively lead to a crash. And that's why starting it off the root file system in the end is not the best for us. The systemd developers suggest to use portable services. You can build them quite simple with MacOSI, even in our OBS. The portable image contains everything, so your application, the service file, all dependency libraries, and so on. So it's really just portable service, attach, and then your image, and then you can start it with systemctl, but we don't have an update infrastructure for portable services, so images. We have containers, we have RPMs, we haven't anything in portable services, and I don't see a reason to implement that. And you have a duplication of the runtime environment because all your portable images contain the glibc and all other basic stuff. If you want to use it, these are the additional lines you need to add to your service. Very interesting is the last two, the journal sockets and the dbus. If you start a portable service, then these are there. They are available. But if you do a soft reboot, they are gone if you don't write them explicit in the service file. I think that is a bug. If portable service has them at the beginning, they should survive a soft reboot. But Luca does not agree with it, so okay. It's not that hard to add these two lines to the service file. The next one is similar to a portable image, a real image you can build with any tool you want. The only difference to a portable service is that the service file is not part of this image. So there are now advantages of a normal image compared to a portable image because you need to provide the service file separately, you need to update it in sync, you still have the image for which we have now update mechanism, so all the problems are still there. The easy part is you only need in your service file to add a root image entry with a path to it. Now we are getting very specific to our own setup. So if you think about Tumbleweed, you update your root file system in the same moment we do a pre and post snapshot. So we have a subvolume which is available, which is there, which is not you, which will stay static, so you can use this one. To not get confused, or that snapper does not by accident delete the snapshot because it thinks it's no longer in use from the date and marking here, I suggest to create, snapper create dev b, a new snapshot, which is then read-only and contains what you currently have. You tell the service file, the most important one, the device and the root image option, where to find the snapshot, and then we just start the service out of the snapshot. Other problems are all the same. This is, in my opinion, the best solution for OpenSUSE Tumbleweed. You create a snapshot of the state you want to use for the service, and then you started. What I missed here is I made this template. There's a variable, so you can start the service with add and then the snapshot number, which snapshot should be used for it. And this is important because if you use these variables in the service file, then you also need to create a matching slice. So for example, add.service, you have a system dev example slice file, where you also need to repeat your unit entries. So the usage is snapper create-p would give 215 as no snapshot, and then you start it this way. So for Tumbleweed, it's for me the best solution, save, it's updated, everything. So, butterfs root subvolume. If you look at OpenSUSE Micro S with transactional update, the root file system is a read-only subvolume which will never change. So, we have in snapshots the snapshot, so just use this one. The rest is identical. You also need to specify the root image and the root image option, not via variable when calling it, but in a drop-in. For this, I have a system lead generator which during boot creates the drop-ins so that the root device and the root image option, the subvolume number is known. And you just need to start systemctl start example, done. So the current root file system is not used, the mounted one, but the dev.snapshot number, snapshot directory is used by systemd and started out of it. But now, we have a systemd service, which is adding some of the drop-ins. Why do I need to adjust the service file if the systemd service could do everything of it? So this is where I'm currently working on, and due to sickness, I didn't manage to get it ready for today, but will then come the next days. We have a systemd generator for OpenSUSE Micro S, and it will be then enhanced for OpenSUSE Tumbleweed. You specify in the list which services should survive the soft reboot. And then the system generator auto-detects the device and the subvolume ID from which we should start them and generates all the necessary drop-in for service files. So you don't need to adjust your service file, you don't need to drop-ins. So if you want that OpenVPN survives the soft reboot, just write OpenVPN in the config file and systemd generator will generate the drop-ins that OpenVPN will not be killed during reboot. This is a GitHub repo where I'm currently working on. And now let me see. So this is a demo I created in April for the SUSE Labs conference. Oh, sorry. He's coming up on the wrong slide. So, now the video is not running. Ah, it's running again. So what you see on the left side is a web server written in Golang, which counts every second counter, and it shows the host name, the current time, the start time of the machine, and the uptime. And on the right, on the console, you see how I type systemctl soft reboot. The soft reboot usually will be restarted. Uptime is going back to zero, but the service itself continues to run. So, That was it from my side. Are there questions about this?
I saw you have the survive final kill signal setting to true. What happens if you want to do a regular reboot? Will the service attempt to survive as well?
If you do a real reboot, then the target is a different one, and I'm not sure if systemd will at the end kill it or not, but latest at the moment where the hardware gets rebooted, your service is killed anyways.
Sure, so thank you.
There is, what can happen is that your shutdown is not clean, but the service will clearly not survive.
I have a question about transactional update use case. So you have also transactional update apply. How, as a user, what would you like? When do you use apply to do the update?
I would never use apply because okay. That breaks your atomic ideology behind it. So I would always use now soft reboot. Apply okay. is much older than soft reboot. I don't know if apply would have happened if we would have had soft reboot at that time. So I personally don't like it. I know Ignaz has a different opinion about it sometimes, but you don't need to use it. You can use it. It's at your own. But with apply, you can, for example, not restart your dbus daemon, which means you still have an old insecure dbus daemon running, even if the apply was for the dbus thing. And the same with all the other applications running. They don't get updated. So the use case, apply, the use case is I have an additional application I want to install and have immediately, where soft reboot is I update the system and want a clean user land afterwards. So the use cases are also different. You can use both, it makes both sense. It's not that soft reboot will replace apply.
Thank you.
More questions? Okay, then. Thank you for listening and see you later outside if you have more questions.